The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Hey, gang, I want to thank you for listening to this episode of How Did I Get Here? I know you have a lot of choices out there, and the fact that you're listening to this episode right now is not lost on me, so thank you. I'm not sure what platform you're listening on, but whatever platform you're on, give us a follow. And if you like what you hear, leave us a rating. It takes just a second, and it means the world to me. Plus, it really helps the show. So thank you in advance. And remember, the last 100 episodes of How Did I Get Here are available on all streaming services. Now, enjoy the show.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a good weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. Gang, I had a good weekend. I came down to Houston on Saturday to play a show with Skyrocket at Last Concert Amphitheater after Houston and downtown Houston specifically had been walloped by hurricane force winds on Thursday night and this crazy storm that broke out and left like over a million people without power for a few days here in Houston. But the Last Concert Amphitheater is downtown, and luckily it was spared the wrath of that thing because, like, you know, there's whole streets closed down because there's so much glass in the streets from windows being blown out in buildings and stuff downtown. It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. But we ended up having a really good show, and it's always like those shows where people need to release some stress, you know, and you're so glad you're there. You realize that the service you provide isn't just entertainment. Sometimes it's just a relief from everyday life, especially when it's stressful like that, you know? So it was an honor to get to do that, and the crowd was just on fire. And, of course, that always makes the band play on fire, so we had a really great show and a really great time. Then Sunday was my grandmother's birthday. She turned 101 years old, and a bunch of family came into town. It was great hanging out with family. Wonderful. I baked my grandma a cake and put the 101. I didn't put 101 candles on there. I realized that that could burn someone's face off because that's so much fire. But I decided to stay for a few days. I'm actually doing this intro in my grandmother's backyard, as I did a lot of them in 2022 like that because I was here a lot. But I decided to stay for a few days and hang out and help out, you know, because when you get to be 101, it's harder to get around and do the stuff. And my aunts are always here taking care of her. So I thought I would hang out for a few days since I didn't have a lot to do. Stuff I could do. I brought my podcast stuff down here, hanging out in the backyard, hanging out with family. So, yeah, it's been a really nice weekend. And it's nice to be able to spend time with family. Gang, I have a great show for you guys today. Ugandan-born singer-songwriter John Mook is my guest on the show. He has a brand new record called Flying Away that comes out on May 31st. It was produced by the great Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys, and it's also coming out on his label, Easy Eye Sound. I have a fantastic conversation with John, man. He is such an interesting, such a sweet and inspiring guy. He's so excited about stuff, and he's got such an interesting story. He comes from Uganda, where they speak 45 languages. So when he very first started learning and playing music, he started doing it in English just because that was the common language. And the more he got into music and he followed music, he kind of started following music in his life, and it took him places. It took him to a cruise ship, and he was a musician on a cruise ship, and he ended up in America. This is a really fascinating story. And then it's a great story of how he ended up hooking up with Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys. Was he posted some video of himself on YouTube playing a song, and Dan Auerbach reached out and was like, hey, let's get together. And I mean, John tells a great story about it, but man, John is set to have an incredible 2024. He is, man. First of all, he's having a release show in Austin at the O4 Center on Friday, June 7th. And then he's celebrating the day before in Houston at the Mucky Duck on Thursday, June 6th. He'll be playing there. But then he's heading out on tour with Mavis Staples in Europe. He'll be opening for Mavis Staples. He'll be playing some festivals in the U.S. and Canada and Europe during the summer. And then in September and October, he will be heading out opening for the Black Keys and the Head and the Heart on tour. Fantastic, right? What an amazing year John is set to have. I have a really great conversation with him. He's a really sweet dude. And he tells great stories, man. And his story is just absolutely fascinating. And his music, the guy is such a great songwriter. There's some singles available right now. The One You Love, Shake Shake, Runaway, great songs. Go to johnmook.com to find out if he's coming to a town near you. I say get out and see him. I've actually seen him a few times in sort of informal settings, like at a thing where people kind of get up and play. I've seen him get up and play songs, and he's just incredible. I've been listening to this record flying away like crazy since he's been on the show. I love it. He's an amazing songwriter. He's got a great message, a fantastic story. So without further ado, this is me and John Mook chatting it up. Let's get down.
I fear my love will lead me back again. I fear my world will see the shape of me in. There's nothing wrong with you.
I really loved the Spin article on you. Yeah. That was great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is it, so how long have you been here, real quick? Like, how long have you been in the States?
I'm making 7 years.
Seven years?
6 years and 7 months, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. And did you come here for music?
No.
Okay.
I guess.
We'll get to all of that in just a second. You have a brand new record called Flying Away that drops May 31st. Produced by the great Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys. This record's gorgeous. Like, you are such a great songwriter.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Beautiful songs. You've been doing these amazing shows. I was talking to Kevin before you came over here, your manager, and I was saying, you have a really exciting year ahead of you.
Oh, yeah. Many shows.
Many shows with many exciting people. Like, you're going to go on tour in Europe with Mavis Staples.
Oh, yeah.
That's insane, dude.
She's amazing.
She is amazing.
She has her energy is mind-blowing.
Yeah. And what is she, like 80?
85.
85?
Yeah. I think she just made 85 like last month or this month.
Do you see yourself going, like, do you see yourself 85 years old or 90 like Willie Nelson still playing shows? And
that would be a good milestone.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Music, I think music only dies with you when you die.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'll keep rocking.
Yeah. So, I mean, is it okay? So, this record is Flying Away. It's gorgeous. People can go and check out all of these beautiful songs available now. Singles: Bend, The One You Love, Shake Shake, Runaway. Runaway to me is it like you're such a great songwriter, and that song to me has so many like sing along moments.
Oh yeah.
You can really like. I mean, I was singing along with it by the end of the first time I heard it.
Yeah, it's a journey. And it kind of covers all the aspects of what journey anyone can pass through running away from something.
Yeah.
Which can be positive, it can be negative, but it takes courage to run from anything.
Right.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I read that Dan Auerbach came across your music just by seeing a video on YouTube, and he was moved to the point where he reached out to you, but you had no idea who he was.
No, I had no idea at all. I just, I think it was early in the year when COVID has just really gotten away, 2021.
Okay.
And then that's when I hear Dan Auerbach, and I was talking to a friend. I'm like, do you know a guy called Dan Auerbach? And the guy was like, did you just say Dan Auerbach?
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Don't mind it. That's a message you have to reply.
Yeah.
So that's when I looked into Dan Auerbach and the Black Keys. I was like, oh, I like this style of music
too. Yeah. He did a great job with your record.
Yeah.
I like that it doesn't sound like the Black Keys. It's, you know, it has a less antiquated sound. I love their sound, but their sound sounds like it's from another time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and yours is very fresh.
Oh, yeah, it's just... It took us 4 days to make 16 songs.
Are you serious?
Each song was one take or two takes, so... Which, the album...
Where did you do it?
Pardon? We did it early last year.
But where?
In Nashville.
Okay.
At Dana, at his studio.
And he brought in his guys to play on it?
Yeah. Some songs I played guitar, and some other songs, it's the session musicians that played. But we knocked it out in 4 days.
Right.
16 songs, all of them.
Well, it's interesting because there's a lot of influence in your music and a lot of different feels. And I'm older than you. I'm 55, but I grew up. My introduction to African music came in the form of Jaluka.
Jaluka.
Johnny Clegg. He's a South African musician.
Oh yeah.
It's Johnny Clegg and so whatever. That's where I first heard it. Then as my time then there were these great records that sort of exploited the feel of African, like Graceland by Paul Simon.
Oh yeah.
Which it introduces, like, mixes both African and Western music together.
Oh yeah.
And what I was going to say is those guys were able to really catch that feel of the African music that's in your music, because it is there a little bit.
Oh yeah, it's the drummer too, the percussionist.
Yeah,
on that album had like Ugandan drums and many percussion stuffs he had
picked
up in Africa, and it was just magical. It was amazing.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah,
you did how many days?
4 days, 16 songs, and each song was the final take. Each take we took was the final. We don't go back one take. So,
was it fun or was it a little bit nerve-wracking?
It was fun. I was just so excited to hear all these songs you spend days singing with just a guitar.
Yeah.
And then you hear how big
the
sound was when producing, and it kind of like was like a performance with the band because it was lively. I didn't go like sing, okay, this is a song they are counting for me to do vocals, verse. No, we were just like a band, sing from beginning to the end and next song.
That's rad.
So it was amazing. That's why when you hear Run Away, there is a police siren when the song starts.
Oh, that's because the police were going.
So the way it was, how everything stayed.
That is so cool.
So...
That's so cool. What a great experience for your debut record to have it be so organic.
Yeah, it was really a great experience.
Yeah. All right. So so you were born in Uganda.
Yes, I was born 1993.
Okay.
On January 1.
Oh, New Year's baby.
New Year's Day.
Yeah. What was... Because... It's interesting because we're both going to have our own perspectives from what we have, because to a kid growing up in Africa, in their mind, America looks a certain way, right?
Yes.
It's like a dream America. It's not the real one. Like when I grew up in the 70s watching like Tarzan movies, Africa was this crazy place where animals and people were trying to kill you all the time. But that's not the case.
Oh, yeah.
But you grew up, I mean, Uganda's famous for being a politically unrestful place. That's a difficult place to, there's not a lot of peace there, right?
No, Uganda has peace.
Yeah?
Because I've seen one president since I grew up, I was born.
Okay. Is that good though?
It's good after, it's bad after a long time.
Sure.
But I don't know, he kind of kept peace for all these years. But before... He came to power, there were many wars between presidents and all that, but he stayed on power for a long time.
Yeah. And you still have family there?
Yes, all the families.
All your families there?
Yes.
Okay. Are they proud? They just so proud of you?
I try to teach them what's happening. They still don't know what's happening.
I understand that.
And you keep telling them, hey, today I have a show. And... A show, people sit and listen, and they're like, people are listening to you singing English. Yeah. So for them, their description, it's they can't believe that.
I understand that.
Unless they see it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I keep them encouraging them to be like, hey, yes, I'm singing English.
Oh, but when you have like a, do you send them a photo, like you're opening for Billy Joel in front of like 65,000 people in Hyde Park. Do you send them a picture and you're like, see all these people, they were all listening to me. Yeah, and they're like, no,
but still
I don't think so, John.
They can't imagine.
Yeah.
You know, it's for them, the picture of me they have is the picture of a 23-22 year old who moved, and that's all.
Yeah.
Unless they see me now, that's when they'll be like, oh, he's changed.
Yeah.
He's known the person.
So you've not been back since
you
left?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did your parents do? What was their occupation there?
Growing up, my mother was a teacher for primary school.
Okay.
And my dad was a volunteer at a radio station.
Oh, cool.
As a journalist. So they were much low class people working every day. Hard every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Uganda, is there like a tough class system? There's like if you're born into a lower class, that's probably where you're going to stay? Or is there opportunity for advancement in
No, it's hard. I mean, it's full of much more people low class. And the people who are they call them rich, are rich, and the poor are poor, but the majority are the low class people.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, that seems to be everywhere, right? I mean, don't you feel like that's here too? I mean,
yeah, here it's here according to the development of the country.
Yeah,
but there it's like,
I
grew up in slums where people share one toilet, almost 40 people in the area, and that's one toilet that people have.
Yeah,
low class. So, which is considered much more low. But people there don't mind. The difference is there people don't mind.
Right.
If you don't have, you don't hope for wanting more. You're contented. So people there.
Right. You don't know any better.
You don't know any better. Right. So, yeah.
What was your, like, what did you think you were going to do with your life growing up? Like, what were you going to?
I was mostly curious and introverted. Most of the time, I always like to draw art in my brain.
A dreamer.
But yeah, I always like to, when I wish for something, I draw it in my brain how I want it, not just wishing it. So when
you, explain that. Like, you can see how you get to that point?
Yeah, when you took me to watch a movie, I was just imagining that kind of world, not watching that kind of world.
Oh, okay.
So my brain would be like picturing.
Yeah.
You know, how is this way? Why is it that way? You know,
sure.
If a road is clean that way, how long did it take to make it? You know,
like
my thinking was totally different from most of my friends, and they hated it.
Did they make fun of you for
it? Yeah, they always like, dude, will you ever love your country? I'm like, no, I love my country. I just see a difference. You know, I'm not just watching the movie.
Yeah,
I'm just seeing how can we be. Make a road look like that rather than our road being dusty.
Right.
So, but for them, they were contented with their road and the dust and all that.
Right.
So growing up was just that way. You don't have, but you know how to appreciate when something is good.
Sure.
So that was all my life growing up. I didn't know what I would be at all. I just know I always followed sound. Everything that produced good sound.
I read that in your bio.
I always followed that.
When you say you followed that, explain, like, the first great sound that you heard, how did you follow it?
The first sound was a bugle.
Okay.
So I'm in this primary school, and every anthem of the school, they have these brass instruments, a team of brass instruments. And one day I was like, I'm tired of standing this side. I need to go and stand in between these guys blowing the instruments, because to me it was so amazing how all these trombones and trumpets blended sound. And I was always there, not blowing anything, but people are like, why is this guy seated right there? I just loved it.
That's interesting.
It just sounded good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when, how did you make the connection with learning how to play guitar? Like, how did that come about for you?
Oh, that comes way, way, way late in life. I was like 16, 17, okay, when I first saw a guitar, which was so mind-blowing. I was like, wow, what's this? I see it on TV. I've just never met it in person. Because I remember I was shy about singing English, and I always sang at night. If you ask the area I grew up, did you hear guys sing here 7 years ago in the night? They'll be like, yes, we had someone walk and sing. Because I loved it, but I was shy that people...
Yeah. We hear you.
50 languages.
Yeah.
I don't even speak proper English. They see me singing English. So I always sang in the night. And that's one day I was doing that same exact thing. We had this place that we go for a walk because the roads are made. It's an area for rich people. It's called Mutungo Hill.
Okay.
That's where people have flats and all that. So that's where I used to walk. And one day I had someone play a guitar.
It's, and you sang
again,
along.
Again, I followed the sound. I went and I was like, where is it coming from?
Oh.
And I reached the gate and I knock and they open up. I was like, hey, is someone playing music here? The guy is like, yeah, we are practicing for church. I was like, can I come and watch? He's like, yeah. So I saw him play and the guy was singing. And again, my brain started drawing pictures. Started drawing, okay, now I'm gonna learn this instrument. Now I've been with this idea to write songs, and now this instrument now is gonna teach me how to write songs, which took me like 5 months, that guy to trust me to touch that guitar. Just touching it, he's like, dude,
wow,
don't touch this, because if you break a string, I have to go to town to buy strings,
right,
which is expensive, since yeah, it's a rare instrument.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I got a purpose. I was like, I'm going to walk here every day or every time they practice,
wow,
which I did.
And that's how you got connected with music.
That's when I first met an instrument. And that started describing more of my purpose, why I should, you know, keep connecting with that instrument and write songs.
And were they like, what is wrong with you, John? You got to just go to school and follow the rules and do what we, you know, fit in, right?
Oh, yeah.
They wanted you to fit in. And you're like, I don't want to fit in. I just want to play guitar.
Yeah, it's just that for that guy, we used much, when I was with him, I always just watched most of the time. And I was going to school as well. But every time I had break from school, I just had now one purpose. That guy.
Yeah.
That guy, I was like, dude, I need to come here every day. That's all I need.
And connect with music.
And watch you and connect. I didn't even care about the Christian songs they were singing.
Right, right.
The instrument, I always felt a call.
Wow.
From that specific instrument. Because the instruments I was used to are the Ugandan instruments where it will take 4 instruments to create what a guitar is creating.
Okay, I understand that. Yeah.
It will take 4 stringed instruments to complete the whole guitar stuff. And I was like, wow, this is much simple. I don't need 5 people playing instruments, mm-hmm, for me to really get sound. So that's how I won trust with him. I started by touching it. I'm like, can I put it in a case? I put it in a case, close the case. And started watching how he plays. And he gave me the guitar one day to go with it at home. And that was the biggest success I had ever encountered. I was just so excited to play 2 chords just at home.
Without
anyone watching. I was excited to sit and listen to how those chords sound. And I'm like, I am happy about listening to these chords.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's getting me, it's making me excited.
Yeah.
So as you went on, you still, how did you keep on connecting with music? Did you start doing it yourself and playing with those guys or by yourself?
I always felt that confidence with myself because again, now I'm in a situation of, you understand English, you listen to English, you can practice. When someone speaks, you understand. But for some reason, when it came to music, English became easier.
Yeah.
When I was singing, it's like you listen musically to sound, you understand sound differently from your speech.
Surely.
So I still felt the confidence of doing it myself, because these people are singing for the church.
Right, right.
And I didn't want much to take that direction.
Right.
I wanted to really understand this more. We Are the World song, by then that's the song I knew. And I was
so funny that it's that. What was it about that song that that got you?
When I first listened to the CD, I think you read it in the Yatko, I was a nanny and I was cleaning and I found the CD. But when I played it, I was shocked to see multiple people singing one track.
Yeah.
To me, immediately my brain told me, if these people can sing in one track, that means your voice can fit in that track as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I saw the whole thing.
It's so interesting.
Because I already thought music was individual. Here is a track, it only fits your voice and it becomes your song.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, wait a minute. These are almost like 10 people.
Yeah.
How are their voice fitting in one track?
Yeah.
And that really inspired me to really take that direction. I was like, okay. I'm going to learn this song on guitar and practiced it.
Yeah.
Every time the guy gave me his guitar, that's the song I was trying
to sing. There comes
the
time.
Yeah. Yeah. We are the world. Yeah, and yeah.
Did you watch the thing, the video on the YouTube, or not YouTube, the Netflix movie?
Yeah, I watched it.
That was really cool,
it's
right?
Really amazing.
Yeah. You know what? A quick aside.
Yeah.
You know what I liked in the song? I liked when Michael came up with the backing vocals, the "We are the world, shala, we are the children, shalinge." I thought that was great.
It was really amazing.
Yeah, but they didn't like it.
Yeah. I think his musical mind was free.
Yeah.
And he was working
very free.
Perfectionists.
Right, and he thought he was singing something that sounded African at that
oh,
time.
Yeah. It's really a good song. It had really good information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, the performances are pretty unbelievable, you know?
Yeah.
That pressure, seeing those people having to do that in one night is pretty... And you're singing and like Michael Jackson's on one side and Huey Lewis is on the other. It's just like, that's a lot of pressure.
I only knew those people when this year, who exactly was singing in those songs.
Oh, and now you're like, wow.
To me, I'm like, oh, this is now Leon Richie.
I
don't even know how to pronounce his name.
So Lionel.
For me, I just saw the people.
Right.
And singing, and I didn't know who they were apart from one person, Michael Jackson.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody knew who he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
What was the other music that you were getting into outside of We Are the World? Like, what were you listening to when you started really liking music?
We Are the World, when I learned that song, it's not until when I got my first gig that I was like, you know what? I am going to, this is calling me to learn a few more songs apart from this one song.
Right.
Because at that time I was singing that We Are the World and I was emulating all the voices.
Really?
You
that's
know.
Awesome.
Because my voice was smaller.
Sure.
Like I could sing high notes and I was singing just, you'd think three people are singing. It was just one
that's
person.
That's so great.
Because that's how I heard it. And that's when I was learning it, that's how I wanted to learn it. You know. So
that's awesome. That really is awesome.
Because I remember when I asked for this hotel gig, the lady was like, how can we help you? Because I remember that evening this guy called me, can you return my guitar?
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, sure. So I started walking with it with my best friend and we found a line that was coming from a hotel and we were doing hotel interviews, like job interviews.
Uh-huh.
I asked the guy behind, why are you guys dressed so well? He's like, it's a job interview. Like, oh, so I also stood in the line.
I
was not dressed.
Yeah.
I was like with dusty legs and all that. So whoever did the interview didn't leave. They wanted to really see what the hell was I doing in the line.
Right.
And I reached there and the lady said, what do you want? I was like, well, I would like to sing here since I live in the area. at least once a week or once a month. And she's like, well, you're holding an instrument. Sing for me. I want to know what exactly you're going to sing. Then I started singing We Are the World with all the voices. She was like, well, you have a job. You start today. So she didn't tell me, come back next time. She's like, you come back today evening.
So what did you do about the guitar and your friend?
I called him. I'm like, hey.
I can't give you this back. I just got a gig.
I just got the first gig on this planet. And
yeah,
I'll bring this guitar to immediately when I finish. He was like, no. You need to bring my guitar. I'm like, this is a gig. If I miss it, everything is gone. So, but he accepted.
And how did the gig go?
It was messed up. I was singing for only chairs. There were no people. It's a hotel.
It's probably better though that your first gig that less people saw you.
So guitar is not plugged in, no microphone, nothing. Yeah. I was just there with the guitar, just trying to play everything comes to my brain. And
oh, you were making stuff up?
I was just making up stuff to kill time so that...
You're the coolest, John, man. You're my idol.
She's like, okay, she's doing a good job. But I was like, no, I was just killing time.
That's rad.
And then she gave me food because the hotel had good food.
Yeah.
So I was playing for food for all that time. The food was so good. I was like, wow, I eat like...
No money yet?
Rich people. No. When I told her to pay me, then she was like, you know what? I don't think I can pay you, you know. I'm giving you food. And I had to quit because I moved with a guitar very late. And it's not my guitar, so I didn't want someone to steal it.
Oh, right.
Or,
right.
You know, run into wrong people.
Right.
Yeah. So that's when I quit, and then I started singing for homeless children on Kampala roads.
That's awesome.
Because these kids, it's like they had no choice.
Yeah, they have nothing.
They would come and sit and just watch me. Yeah. They were also curious like me when I first saw the instrument. Because the guitar, when you hold the guitar like in Uganda, everyone is expecting you to see if you're playing it.
Right.
They are curious. They are like, can you even play what you're holding?
Yeah.
It's too modern.
Yeah.
It's not that they don't know what it is.
Right, right.
It's just that they've not seen someone play it.
It's so wild, isn't it?
It's just so wild. Here people hang them on the walls, like for years.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So, yeah. So how did you got a job on a cruise boat?
Yeah, but it all
did that happen in Uganda?
Yeah, I was still in Uganda. So this, I keep on doing the homeless kids stuff, which was fun to me. I enjoyed doing it.
And it made you better?
Yeah, it makes you better. They didn't understand what I'm singing.
Right.
And I built kind of that confidence slowly.
Did you understand what you were singing?
At first, when you listen to my Facebook videos, some things you'll be like, this doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know the song. I don't know what the hell you're singing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, I was capturing sound rather than what the singer was singing.
Sure.
As long as the note was right, I'll just be like eating words.
It's interesting because as a lyricist, you're very good. You're very strong. You're able to get your point across very clearly and very succinctly and musically.
Yeah, I always like to use something that is in the range of your vocabulary. Because most times I feel a lyric can only be complicated if you jump out of the bracket of your vocabulary.
Sure.
And then
you seem to have a strong vocabulary for someone that's not been speaking English their whole life. You know?
Yeah, but the words are all simple in the song.
Yeah.
In the songs, it's just what you expect me to speak.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That's all right. It makes it clear communication. That's an interesting thing because sometimes people think there has to be a certain amount of complication to a lyric for it to be good.
Yeah.
Or some level of high sophistication in certain words. But why? Why can't you express, you can really only say I love you so many ways.
Yeah.
And just saying I love you, sometimes that, what
it's,
else?
It's okay to even say that.
It's okay because everybody says it, yeah.
But everyone feels that they want to jump distance that people don't know, and sometimes you jump so far and forget yourself behind.
Yeah, and they don't talk like that.
Yeah.
They end up writing things, it's a way that people don't talk.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, it's
not natural.
Don't speak like that.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, so sorry, you were getting to the cruise ship.
So I sing for these kids for a long time. It's like 6 months in, you know. And I've been like in that struggle of guitar journey, trying to learn, trying to know more, you know. And one day my friend is like, hey, John, you know what? What you're doing is good. We need to start at least capturing this, you know. Because I remember my best friend told me a statement. I remember very well we were seated in a trench. You know, when water comes, the city is not planned, so water creates trenches.
Okay.
And we were seated there doing nothing. He told me a statement, you are going to travel the whole world. And I'll never forget that. He's the only person who told me that, even when I just started playing guitar. He told me, you know what, Jonathan, you are going to travel the whole world. And I kept quiet. I was like, why are you trying to be a god? You know, I was like, but it's a weird statement he made.
You traveled a lot of the world last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you ever write him and call him and tell him thank you?
Yeah. I told him, hey, I remember you told me this, but...
He was right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we make a video, Cruise Line, and one of the videos is what I shared with the cruise line. Like, the cruise line sees and they're like, you want to sing on a big boat? And I get this message and I was just still resistant to respond to everything because it doesn't seem real. You know, someone sending you stuff that has Florida, San Francisco, LA. You just like, this is a scam. This can't be possible. And then I had to get proof. I was like, I needed to see that boat moving. I was like, hey, you need to send me a link of that thing moving. And it was real. I remember watching that thing fell almost whole day. I just couldn't believe how massive that boat was.
Yeah, it's like a whole city.
And then I woke up one morning. I'd never read a contract. I'd call some friends. I was like, hey, can you read through this for me? You know?
Yeah.
I think I have to sign it today, but can you read it for me? And they told me, yeah, this is what it means. And this, signed. It's like, hey, how work? And then I had to get ready. I remember on a cruise line, I had this book, huge book. It was like this size.
Of songs.
Like, it was just, the words were printed in big letters.
Yeah, so you could just
flip
through.
Those are old times that I'm even blind. I don't know, I can't see.
Right.
You know, I only knew that when I moved here. And that's why I had a book with many words. But my brain didn't know I was blind. I couldn't read small stuff. I just had a big book. To me, it made sense. But to the people on the ship, they were like, what in the world? Yeah. Why is this guy having such a large book? He can't even fit on a small table. Like,
can't fit on a music stand.
Yeah, it's like, so hey, guys, this next song is by Elton John. And everyone was eager to see what's in the book, but they were shocked.
Yeah.
When they came to the book, it was only words.
Yeah.
They thought maybe it's musical. I'm reading music somewhere. No, it was just a book with words.
That's wild.
But the words were just big enough for me to see while singing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you played and people liked you, or did you get fired?
At first I was, getting all the visa after the singing for homeless children, they, I tell the ship I'll do it. They send me all instructions. I followed rules. And I remember when I left the embassy, the lady was like, hey, so you're going to work on a boat. Can you sing for me? I was like, we are the world. We are the children. She's like, I'm sorry, I was kidding. You have a visa. Welcome to United States. And I left the embassy. It was unbelievable. First shot, first time to be on a plane, first time to step in an embassy. It was a yes.
It was all of a sudden your life was completely different.
I didn't know how different it was.
So you followed the sound.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like opened up a door. Every time you discover something related to sound, it's opening up this small door.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll fit in that door. I'll pass through. So I get a visa. I come back home. I show them the visa. They tell me, that doesn't look real. That looks fake. How can you get a visa? They were right to think that way, because if you grew up so poor,
right,
how in the world would you come with a visa of United States of America?
Yeah. That's, and you came to the States?
Yeah, like...
Where did you go?
Because I had to go to San Francisco, and then that's where I joined the cruise line.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was going to America, and they didn't believe it. They were like, oh my God, who do you know? You know, they are going to steal your kidneys. You're going to go there, you're going to sleep. So I started hearing all these stories, and I was freaked out, kind of.
Yeah.
Because their question was like, who are those people calling you? Have you met them? No.
Oh, right. So
for them, their concern was, you are 22 and you're talking about going on another continent by yourself from people you met on internet.
And nobody from where you lived, just left and just went to America and got on a cruise ship singing songs.
Yeah.
That sounds ridiculous.
I remember at the embassy, they mentioned I was the first person to get that crew visa in that country.
Really?
Yeah. It was rare for a person to come with a contract for a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I joined the boat. I remember this big guy waiting for me at the airport with my name. What he did is what I did. He went to pee, I went to pee. He didn't say much.
Yeah.
He's just a security guy to make sure I get to the hotel.
Yeah.
Because they know most people run.
Yeah.
When they land in America.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But me, my intention was to go to a boat. So I went to San Francisco hotel that night. Again, I look at musical instruments at the hotel, best like the level one. I think they play live music there, but no one was playing that evening. And there was a speaker and a guitar and a microphone. I came and asked the receptionist, is there anyone singing? It's like, no, we always have that there if someone wants to perform. I was like, can I perform? So I did I sang that night. The only night I slept at San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I have this photo with the whole team. They were like, are you staying? Do you live here? You can come back and sing tomorrow. I was like, no, I'm joining the boat first thing in the morning.
That's awesome.
So for me, I was like, any opportunity I see, I'm taking it.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so how long did you do the boat?
6 months.
Okay. And where did you go from there? Because that's, you left. Did you go back to Uganda?
I've never been to Uganda ever since I left.
Okay, so when you left, that was it?
When I left, that was...
And that was 7 years ago?
Yes.
Okay.
Up to now. Because I left Uganda on the 14th of October.
That's my birthday.
2017.
Yeah.
That's when I left.
All right.
Yeah. So that journey, I'm on a boat. Everything was new. I was scared first 2 weeks. I went to the captain. I was like, hey, I think the job is becoming difficult. I feel scared to sing English to people who grew up speaking English. My brain was like, they are like, he's wrong. That lyrics is wrong.
Yeah.
That lyrics is wrong.
No, they love it.
But they can't. The guy was from Italy. He just told me they won't jump off the boat. That's, I didn't expect him to tell me that, but that's the best advice I got. And I was like, oh, that's true.
Yeah.
He told me, just sing whatever. They won't jump off the boat. I was like, thank you, sir. I needed that advice. So I started being comfortable, and I requested people. They always wrote papers of songs they think I sound like. And I went off the boat when the ship docked. Picked up the songs, printed out the lyrics, came back with the lyrics, sang the song.
You figured out your gig.
That's how I started building up my list of songs and knowing musicians.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get to 6 months and then that ends.
Yeah.
Because of them or because of you? Did you want to leave?
Contract I signed was 6 months.
And they didn't renew it?
No, they had given me another contract. But at that point, it's a half a year on a ship.
Yeah.
That's a lot. yeah. of time.
Yeah.
I saw people go on and off. And I was like, you know what? I need to think about a way that can change my situation. So I have a new contract to work on the boat, but I needed to give myself a different shot.
Yeah.
Because now the ship left me in Bahamas, which now you're not in America. And your contract is done, meaning you're not in America.
Oh, they didn't even bring you back to America. They just leave you wherever your contract ends?
Yeah, my contract was there.
That's weird.
So my contract was there.
Sure.
And it ended, I was in Bahamas. So I was like, okay, I need to... I started reading and researching a lot about immigration and all that. And I saw some stuff that showed that I have an opportunity. I can renew my work visa since I have the opportunity to work again on the ship.
Sure.
And now also I can ask to visit America.
Right.
So I was lucky and they approved both of them. And now I was like, okay, where do I go? I have the visas. Where do I go to be so that I join the ship when the time comes? So I Googled events happening in America.
And that's a pretty broad...
Because what let me do that is the hotel I was living in Bahamas.
Uh-huh.
These people came and made my bed, and I thought it's customer service. I had to pay for that.
Oh.
So I go down, I'm like, hey, can I check my bill? And this lady was like, yeah, well, these people have come 7 times to lay your bed, and this is how much it costs. Yeah. I was like, hey, I need to get out of this place tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I go on the computer and picked up events happening in America. And that's when I saw a refugee fundraiser of a home here in Austin called Casa Marinella.
Okay.
It's a refugee home. I call and was like, hey, I want to sing for free. It's volunteer. I see you have a fundraiser, no music. The lady was like, oh, sure, free? Sure. Yeah, this is the day. Then I was like, wait, I'm in Bahamas. She's like, oh, no. How are you getting here? I'm like, just say yes, I'll be there.
Wow.
And that's how I ended up in Austin. And in the morning, I woke up. I was like, why are people holding guitars everywhere?
Yeah.
And they told me it's South by Southwest. I was like, what's South by Southwest? And they told me, well, it's a festival. I was like, okay, that makes sense. At least I can see guitars everywhere. That's musical to me. So
what did you, how did you get playing here? Like what did you do?
I didn't play for a while, apart from open mics.
Yeah, what'd you do for work, for a living?
I was lucky when I went to volunteer at Casa Marinella, and the guy who was a volunteer, the guy that took me in with his wife, they were like, hey, John, you can stay with us. Because they asked me, what's your next plan? Because they are like, oh, this is the African that came and sang. Because I remember that day I went for, the day I went to do the fundraiser, I thought it's like Uganda. It's community. Everyone is watching out for you. No. After that party, I was left there.
Yeah.
Alone.
Yeah.
And then this drunk guy from nowhere. He's still at the party. I think he had dozed off. And he's like, hi, you're the Ugandan?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. He's like, what the hell are you doing here? It's like midnight. I'm like, everyone left me here. He's like, well, I'm going home. Get in my car. He was drunk, but I just sat in the car. Miles, drove miles, because I think... the fundraiser was north, and we had to come south. And in my brain, I was like, I know it, this guy's drunk.
Yeah.
I'm like, but where is he taking me?
Yeah.
We finally arrived.
Yeah.
I entered the house. He's like, that's a room. You can sleep there. And he went and slept.
And dude.
In the morning, he gave me a Coca-Cola and an avocado. For breakfast, I was like, oh, thank you, sir. I ate my avocado with Coca-Cola. I didn't have any problem. I thought that's what Americans eat.
Yeah.
I just ate and I appreciated.
Yeah.
And I stayed there for like 4 days or 5 days. And then he also gets frustrated and is like, calls the people that had picked me up at the airport. It's like, guys, do you even remember the African?
Yeah.
And that's when the guy I lived with asked, yeah, where is he? It's like, no, he's here. He's been with me. So he drives me to them. So, like, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what I'm doing. Everything. I'm just following this. What comes is what I'm going with.
Yeah. And
that's when he took me in with his wife. He's like, hey, till you get a plan, you'll stay with us.
That's nice.
So they gave me one room in their house, and I stayed with them for 1.5 years. So I had to always make sure I stay in status, renewing, volunteering still, and making research and learning about music as I extend my visas. Because at that time, you're not allowed to work.
Right.
You're just a visitor.
Right.
Which took a long time.
Sure.
And then I went, found a lawyer and told them, hey, I'm a musician and I feel like I'm talented and I deserve an artist visa. Oh, she was like, I don't think you're eligible for that. I was like, I have come to get a solution.
Yeah.
You know.
Has Kevin's able to help with all that stuff, right?
Kevin comes in a long time ago after all this.
Oh, really?
Kevin comes a long time ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what were you doing that whole time? Okay. Were you playing open mics?
Open mics, staying at these people's house, making sure my visa is in line, is in check.
Sure.
Sometimes I would get gigs, coffee shops, and people would tip you and all that. But it didn't have to be work.
Right.
Because I didn't want to violate my visa.
Sure, sure. You didn't want to get kicked out, have to go back to Uganda.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So it's not until during COVID-19, I think it was 2020, that's when I was home, checked the mail, and I have this visa that allows me to work. I was like, oh my God.
That's awesome.
I was so excited. I was like, I feel free. I feel like now I can do a gig.
Right.
You know, and yeah.
I thought I had gone to a party, though, in 2019 at an apartment downtown, at a condo downtown.
Yeah, it was.
That Kevin had, and you were there. That's where I think I met you.
Yeah, it was a birthday party. Was it a birthday party?
I feel like it was like a birthday or Christmas kind of party or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might have been a party. I remember I've been some parties, but...
Yeah. But you were, like, there was people playing, and, like, Lisa Morales was there, Alex was there.
I remember the house. It was a house. It was...
What?
Songwriting, like, circle. I sang a song and Lisa sang a song.
I think so.
And Lisa sang.
Maybe I met you at a different time, but I did meet you at a BMI thing downtown a couple years, like in 2021.
Rustic Top.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That was at the Rustic Top.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the time when I had met Kevin, because I met Kevin through a guy who is a boss for the band called The Lumineers. Yeah, I met him. I don't know how I met that guy. Immediately, I told him, hey, sir, I like that band. How can I work with you? So he's like, well, you don't have a manager. You know, if you can look for this guy, if he's your manager, then I can work with you because he's the only person I know in Austin that can manage an artist. So Kevin Womack's name comes in the picture. So I started hunting for Kevin here.
People have been saying, like, I'm 50. People have been saying that about Kevin since I was, like, 16 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's the only guy that, like, he's so, the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I hunted for Kevin.
Yeah.
And went to some lawyer and called Mike Talson. He knew Kevin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he connected me with Kevin. So Kevin started helping me. We didn't have a contract or anything. Sure. I had nothing. I was, like, just a musician, you know, who can write a song and sing a song. That's all I had. And
does any of this stuff that's happened over the last year or so, how much of it blows your mind? Because, like, I grew up with so much pop culture that the idea of opening for Billy Joel to me, excuse the phrase, but I would shit in my pants.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if someone was like, hey, you're gonna open for Billy, I'd be like, and my family would freak out, like my aunts would, you know what I mean? Like, you do some stuff that, like, the fact that you did a record with Dan Auerbach, I know people that would give their right arm to do something like that.
Yeah, I got excited, but I always go through every situation with this. I didn't know, you know. I mean, when I first went to the Billy Joel show, I don't know who Billy Joel is, you know. Like, I know, I got what people would say that, hey, Billy Joel, that's amazing. But still, it's
right,
and my family in Uganda. However much I explain to them how much America is, they can listen, but they can't really understand it unless you're there. That's when you're like, oh, this is a famous person, and this is this. But before that, it's hard to be really mind-blown.
Sure.
Because you're trying to figure out, what does it really mean?
Did you play by yourself at that show with him?
Yes.
So you got up in front of 65,000 people, just your guitar with the eyes on it?
I was scared. Like,
yeah, you should have been scared.
With a guitar, I started sweating.
Sure.
Like, before I sang, I was just sweating. Because the stage is so big, and you're like a tiny thing on the stage. So,
what was the response like? Like, when you finished your first song, what was the...
People are amazed. I saw people that were walking, and they were like, who the hell is that?
Yeah.
And they were looking back. They were like, since it's like a festival.
Yeah.
So some people are doing their own stuff. Some people are listening.
Sure.
Yeah. But it was a great experience.
And all of the shows that you're doing, because you're doing... okay, real quick. You're doing... Your record comes out on the 31st, and the record, the show at Mucky Duck in Houston on June 6th, that's you by yourself. That's a record release show?
Yeah, it's like I'm singing the whole album songs.
Okay, and the next night in Austin, Friday, June 7th at O4 Center?
Yeah.
That's a record release show as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How exciting.
Those venues, I've played there before, so it would be amazing. For the O4 Center... I always get nervous about the band, performing with the band, because I'm always used to singing solo.
Who is in your band here?
They are friends of mine, and some guys, Kevin, knew them, so...
You want to say their names?
There is Mario, I know the first names.
Okay.
There is Mario, there is Mike Medius on percussion.
Uh-huh.
There is John Branch on guitar.
He's a great guitar player.
Yes, and there is Bryce. He plays keys.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's fantastic.
And there is...
Bryce Powell, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there is... Mario Bass? And there is Aaron playing drums.
Okay.
He plays with Lisa Morales a lot.
She's fantastic, too.
Yeah.
So have you been doing any co-writing with people, or you just write these songs by yourself, and you're putting this record out, you're going to go out on tour, you're writing more, you're in the cycle?
So I write, and I listen, you know. When someone tells me, hey, this doesn't make sense in English, I always like to understand why it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
So, which I like. I mean, people sometimes call it co-writing. But
no, co-writing to me is more like, hey, I have this chorus. Oh, I got this verse. Like, try a C here.
Oh, yeah.
Like singing a melody or something.
So yeah. I like to practice stuff, you know, most times with people, because you learn. I've already written the second album. I'm just writing the last two songs. And
awesome. That's great.
It's been much more. By the time I go to Dan, I'll tell Dan, hey, hear the songs. I share with him the songs, and he's like, John, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. So, but before I went to him, I'd written already 50 songs.
Yeah.
That we can go to and choose some songs.
Yeah.
But with co-writing, I write with many people for their own stuff.
Uh-huh. Sure. I would want to write a song with you. You have a good vibe.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, all right, so this is the stuff you're doing. You've got some shows here on your own, that, as I said, the June 6th Mucky Duck, June 7th, O4 Center. Then you're going on tour with Mavis Staples in Europe in June. Then you got festivals in the U.S., Canada, and Europe. And then you're touring the U.S. in September and October with the Black Keys and the Head and the Heart.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Is this label Easy Eye Sound? Is that Dan's label?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Really, like, this is all just such phenomenal set, and the songs are so good.
Thank you.
Can find these songs, the singles, Bend. There's videos also for all these songs, which are great. The One You Love is a phenomenal song too, man. What a great song. Jesus.
When I wrote that song, it was so slow.
Oh, really?
I carved your name right to my heart, my love.
Yeah.
This fate was said when your life... It was so slow.
Sure.
And when I took it to Dan, it's like, we're going to make this fast.
Yeah.
Which at first, yeah, I was uncomfortable with that. But it made sense why.
Yeah.
Because my version was kind of more like a movie-like...
Sure.
Track, something like that. So,
are you happy with all of this stuff? Like the record, are you happy with it? Are you really blown away that how great it sounds? And
it's just so amazing. I listen to it and I'm like, you know, it's all the songs. I feel like me as a person, I feel like they will grow.
Yeah,
they'll be like a, I don't know what they call it when you put something in concrete, and the more it ages, the more it becomes solid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I feel like this is a song someone will pull out 6 years from now, and they'll be like, why is this song still resonating through me?
Yeah.
At this time, to me, that's how I see the album. And when I write, I always like to think in that perspective. I don't want this song to be just for the moment today. I want it to be for a long, 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 long time.
Timeless, yeah.
Timeless, yeah.
Well, you seem to be writing about real things, like, you know, the one that I dug in the most lyrically on was Runaway, which seems to be kind of like a theme song for you, like your story song.
The Journey.
The Journey.
But the one that's coming out this month called Flying Away From Home.
Oh, yeah, it's a good song.
It's the real story.
It's the real deal.
It's about going home, getting on a boat, and the chorus is about how to be strong. And so it tells much the story.
Yeah.
But all the songs are real life.
Yeah.
Even when I write with friends, I don't ask them to think about what's not existing. I want
something
to
they've
understand
been through.
What do you think at this time, or what have you passed through that you think you care about?
Sure.
Because if you know how to... If you perform it and you've experienced it, you'll be emotional about it.
Yeah.
But if, so most times I always like, some friends are like uncomfortable with that. They're like, well, I don't want to think up. I'm like, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's where your heart is.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting, man. That'll always keep your art and your music true.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. John, this has been phenomenal. It's been great talking to you. You're a fantastic dude, and I love this music so much. And now we know each other a little better, so when I see you at those things, it won't just be a quick passing by. But
yeah,
I really,
like, hey.
Yeah, I'm excited. I want to try and come out to that O4 Center show. I don't think I'm playing that night, but Friday, June 7th, the O4 Center here in Austin. Thursday, June 6th. Who's playing with? Someone's opening for you at O4 Center. Do you know?
She's,
I saw it on your website.
She's called Someone Somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's
Someone
amazing.
Somebody.
She's Aubrey. Aubrey was one of my best friends when I moved here.
Oh, yeah?
She always drove from far away.
Aubrey Hayes.
Yeah.
I love Aubrey Hayes.
She used to drive far away to come north. I didn't have a car. And then we sit in the car. Then we drive somewhere, play music, and she drives me back.
What a lovely
and
person.
And she didn't even know me much. She was just a good, good friend.
She's a good person. Yeah.
And I'm excited that...
And this is their new musical endeavor.
Yeah.
Yes. I worked with her. I worked with this thing called Austin Music Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
And she was in our artist development program. We got to record a couple of songs with her. She's
She's amazing.
Amazing. And I'm excited to see their new music. So that would be great to get out there and see that.
Oh, yeah.
This record is called Flying Away. It comes out May 31st. As I said, you can get all those singles that are available now. There's another one coming out. You can go to johnmook.com for all of your needs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anything? I'm sure there's tons more, but we'll do this again when you make your next record.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. John, so great meeting you, man. Congratulations on everything. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
It's a game for two.
Gang, that was John Mook. His album Flying Away drops May 31st on Easy Eye Sound. The record was produced, of course, by Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys. He's going to be playing Thursday, June 6th, doing a release show at the Monkey Duck in Houston. On Friday, June 7th, he'll be at the O4 Center in Austin, and he will be heading out on tour with Mavis Staples in Europe in June. He'll be playing festivals in the U.S., Canada, and Europe in the summer, and he will be touring with the Black Keys and the Head and the Heart this fall, September and October. So go to johnmook.com for all of John Mook needs. I want to thank everyone on his team for being so kind and setting this up. My friend Hobart for turning me on to talking to him, because he did an interview with him and he's like, do you know this guy? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you should get him on the show. So he set it all up. So thank you to everyone that helped us set this up. John Mook, thank you so much. Kevin Womack, my friend who manages John, great friend of mine for many years, over 35 years. Fabulous man. Go to johnmook.com for all of your John Mook needs. He's a great dude. And don't forget, gang, when you're checking out John Mook, subscribe to this podcast, follow us, leave us a rating, helps us with all of our stuff, lets me know you're listening, lets me know you care. All right? Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
That's the only way. It's the only way I'm ever gonna find you. It's the only thing that matters in the end. So go. Has laid me bow to you.